Hey, what's going on? It's Bill Burr, and it's the Monday Morning Podcast for Monday, August 25th, 2014. How's it going? How are you? What's up? Right off the bat, I got to apologize to the members of the band Chicago, because last week I actually credited the Doobie Brothers with that wonderful hit, Say in the Park, right? So my apologies. I've always confused those two bands. There was always something about Chicago. They were amazing musicians, but there was just something fucking, I don't know what it was, depressing about their sound to me. And then after those, Terry Kath years, then it was the Peter Cetera years, and then it just kind of went all like, you know, really high-pitchy. I'm trying to think of the song. I just remember Stay the Night. I like that video on MTV. Stay the night, I want to spend it with you. And then there was some, oh wait, oh, how the fuck did that one go? Something hot as skin getting used to. Ah, shit, I don't fucking remember. I don't know why, you know, I bought that stupid easy listening rock shit, so all that crap is in my fucking head now. I woke up this morning, boo-doo, boo-doo, boo, and all I hear in my head is just fucking like, yee ba da ba ba da do ba da be, and something about this boat that sunk. They went out on the lake, and they were delivering Oreos, and then there was a big fucking wave. Mark Wahlberg went into the water. George Clooney stayed in the fucking boat. Why does every fucking song about the sea have to be in 3/4 time? Is that 1/3/4? I don't know what the fuck it is. That shit, they just make you feel like you're rocking. You know, sometimes the sea is nice and smooth. Okay? Billy Joel and all you other fucking cunts out there. You never been out on a boat and the water looked like glass? That's 4/4 time. We got to sit there rocking back and forth, getting seasick in the crowd because you're up there talking about a goddamn seagull as you finish off another Jack and Coke.
Shark's got a black fucking dolly.
Even that's one of the reasons why Jaws was so amazing was, you had the actor playing Quint,
his old salty dog,
right? And even then, what did they sing? They sang a drinking song. Show me the way to go home. Boom, boom. I'm tired and I want to go to bed. Yeah, regular common time. Now, shouldn't he have been out there going, show me the way to go home. I fucking shut up with your fucking peg leg. Why don't you go get a prosthetic? Why don't you come ashore? Who is she, Captain? Who are you running from? You gonna stay out at sea for the rest of your life, jerking off the mermaids? Or are you gonna come ashore and try and catch another bus? It's okay. Yeah, come here. You can cry it out. You can put your one patch on my shoulder. I was just gonna ask a fucked up question. You know, if you lose an eye, when you cry, do tears still come out of both eyes? Is the tear duct isn't exactly the eyeball, is it? Hi, do you know me? I never took a science class in my life or an anatomy class. They didn't have that shit when I was... Well, they had some of the science classes, and I fucking steered clear of them. Okay? Once you were past junior high and you didn't get to turn on a Bunsen burner, you know, that was the only fun thing. I remember taking one class, and next thing you know, I'm fucking doing, like, open-heart surgery on a dead frog, and it's just like, I don't want to do this. This frog had to die so I could hack it up. This fucking dog, this frog was having a great goddamn time. Right? Hopping around the Christmas tree. Ba-da-boo, right? Jumping around the fucking swamp. Eating flies. You know, that's what it likes to do. That's like Fritos for a fucking amphibian. Having a great fucking time. And then some douche comes along. I don't even know how they killed the thing. You know, they can't, like, fracture its little frog skull because I got to,
What do you call that when you cut open something that's dead? Grave robber? Necrophilia? No, that's not it. That's not it. Autopsy? Like I'm on Law and Order? I don't know. Probably shot it with like a poisonous dart. You ever really look into the eyes of a frog? You ever look at the fucking, the way it holds its mouth? You know, it's just like that fucking dude just, he's trying to blend in. He's not hurting anybody. He's not the quarterback. He's not the burnout. He's just filler in the class photo. Can't you let him be? So next thing you know, they fucking whack him. And then here I am trying to cut this thing open. I fucked the whole thing up and I got a D minus on it. You know? I should have honored that frog and at least gotten an A. Taking out its fucking liver. Anyways, what have I been doing? I had a wonderful week. I want to thank everybody who came out to the Oddball Tour. 15,000 strong. Coming out to the to Jones Beach, whatever the fuck they call that amazing arena out there. I'm not going to call it by the stupid Best Buy, whatever fucking name they give it. But I don't know, man. It was, you know, what's funny is I haven't done one of those shows in a long time. And I always go back to the Virus Tour in my head. I always think I don't like doing shows at night outside with tens of thousands of fucking people here because they act like, you know, they act like animals, and which really wasn't the case on the Virus Tour. They just acted like animals on the last two dates that I did. And the second show was imitating the first show. So it was really just the one show. But what it was on the Virus Tour was you knew that show was coming. You just didn't know when. It's like when you're creeping through a fucking house and there's an axe murderer. You don't know what room he's in, but you know he's in the house. And at some point, somebody's going to try to fucking swing an axe at your head. That was basically the Virus Tour. And so I think whenever I go to do those, I kind of have like my fucking comedy Vietnam flashback. And I don't know. And I went out there and I was pleasantly surprised. The crowd was unbelievable. Like 15,000 people and you could take them wherever you wanted to go. I actually brought them down at one point. I brought them down. You know, like a song for the little breakdown, the Bob Seger part, where he fucking sings about how many years went by. All right, 20 years, where they go? 20 years, I don't know where they gone. Yeah, you do, Bob. They went up your nose. You're out there having a fucking orgy. Yeah, the decades kind of fly by when you live in the rock style lifestyle. Can you stop bringing us down? You're supposed to be up there acting like you're having the time of your life, remembering everything. Don't fucking come down to my level in the crowd and tell me that you're also wondering what the fuck you're doing with your life. You know what that says to me, Bob? There's no hope. Anyways, so I was on arguably one of the best fucking lineups I've ever been on, at least since I did the Virus Tours back in the day. You guys want to compare? You want to compare stand-up lineups? Let's start a fucking internet lineup. I mean, argument here with the lineups of both shows. This is like arguing Super Bowl teams. Who would you rather have, dude? Would you rather have the 85 Bears? The fucking 79 Steelers? Or any team with Tom Brady on it? I just fucking threw that out there because some people fucking hate him. His cleft chin. Tom Brady has an ass on his chin and he fucks a skinny chick from Brazil. I'm sorry. You know what's great about 3-4 time? I understand why you write it, because anything sounds important. I scratched my balls and I brushed my damn teeth and had an egg over easy. All right, so let's compare lineups. All right, so back in the day, all right, that Virus Tour, the Philly show, as much as I can remember of it, which was a long time ago, which, by the way, there's been more goddamn horseshit written about that show. Some fucking guy wrote all this fucking bullshit about what happened that night when I got booed. And I actually tweeted back to him the correct story, and then he just retweets it. Like nothing means anything to anybody. No, oh, hey, sorry, I got it wrong. This dude tried to say that Bobby Kelly got booed before me, Dom got booed before me, and then I was standing backstage with Opie and Anthony, and I said, they ain't doing that to me. Like I'm fucking Popeye.
Hey, have my little spinach here.
Everything comes back to the sea. Popeye, the sailor man, the fucking sailor. There's another dude fucking a skinny bitch. All right? What's with these heroes? They don't like hips? You don't like some thighs there? A little thoroughbred prancing down the fucking road? Yeah, that didn't happen. Bobby had a great set that night. Dom, they booed for like 30 seconds, and he told him to shut up, and he goes, "What? Why would you think I would ever leave?" And I was sitting backstage going, I don't want to fucking do this. Nervous as hell. And then I went out there, and I opened with a bad cell phone joke. And then they started booing me, and then what happened? That's what happened. And then Jim Norton went out after me and never addressed it and fucking killed. That is what happened. That is what happened. The first guy got booed. It's 7 o'clock. And then everybody else had good sets. And then I got booed like 3 hours later. All right? That's what happened. That is what happened. Okay? For the final fucking time. That is what happened.
I can't stand no more. Arr, matey.
No, it was realized backstage. I don't want to do this, man. I didn't need to be here. I was like that dude in Platoon. I got a bad feeling about this one, man. So there you go. All right. So the lineup that night, I will not name the other person who got booed because I'm a fucking class act over here with my cute little button nose. It was, let me see if I can remember. Tracy Morgan, Bob Saget, Ralphie May, Bobby Kelly, Dom Irrera, Patrice O'Neill, myself, Jim Norton. That's who I remember was on that show. What a fucking lineup that is, huh? Patrice, the greatest comic of, my generation, as far as I'm concerned. I mean, that's fucking Murderer's Row right there. And I came out like Neil O'Donnell. Oh, shit. All right. And then last weekend, I went on a show and we had, let's see here, Sarah Silverman, Hannibal Buress, Louis C.K., Dave Attell, myself, Jeff Ross, Chris Hardwick, and who else was on that show? Oh, some younger comic, and I fucked up. What the fuck's his name? The youngster there. And the youngster there, the rookie, the young fella there, right? Who do you like? Who do you like better? That was a fucking both shows. You know what I mean? Come on. Those are two of the sickest shows I've ever been on. So anyways, I went out there, and it was unreal. And of course, like a fucking asshole, I didn't get a picture with anybody backstage. What an asshole. At one point, I'm talking to Louie and Dave, like two of my biggest stand-up heroes, and I got a fucking iPhone on me, and I never thought to be like, hey, let's get a picture. I never thought to do that. Now, I don't know, these next weekend, I'm doing more of them to pay for the fucking money pit. I didn't want to get into that. I'm not even going to get into that because there's no comedy left in this fucking project. Oh, Jesus. When the job is done, I'm going to go downstairs and I'm not going to have any money to refurnish it. And I'm just going to stand down there. And in the echo, I'm just going to start weeping. Never again. Never again. I understand why nobody did shit to this fucking house, because to try to fix it is ridiculously expensive. And I am fucking done with it. So anyways, I went out there. I had a great time. I was trying out new material, and it was such a cool... I didn't even realize how cool the venue was until somebody took a picture from the upper deck. The upper deck, a fucking comedy show. How that venue... I'll tweet it out on the Monday Morning Podcast Twitter handle there, whatever the fuck you kids say, at the MM Podcast. Join our Twitter following. We're already up to 10,000 followers. You know, 10,000 more, we can start a church. You guys will start calling me Father. Right? I'll grow a long white beard and I'll start banging everybody who fucking, you know, everybody who's there. That's what you do when you can't play an instrument, when you can't tell jokes, and you still want to fuck everything that moves. Your only other option is, other than hookers, is you have to start a religion. That's basically what you do. And you tell people what they want to hear, and you bring them in, and you tell them that there's this higher thing, and it cares about them, it's going to help them, but I'm the direct route to it. You talk to me, and I'll talk to it, and I know it. It loves me, and it whatever I say, it's going to listen to, and I'm kind of it. You know what I mean? I'm kind of it, but it's it, but I'm kind of that thing, and next thing you know, I'm it. I'm the guy. I'm Jesus. I'm the Father, the Son. I'm the fucking Alpha and the Omega. I'm the fucking Foxtrot and the fucking X-Ray, right? Next thing you know, you're blowing Jesus. All right. So we went ahead and we did the gig. And I flew into New York Friday for the gig. 6 a.m. flight. And then I flew back 8 a.m. Saturday. I landed at like 3 o'clock, jumped in a cab, traffic all the way in to Lower Manhattan, Soho, dropped my bags, jumped in the shower, got ready, ran downstairs, got in the van, went out, did the gig, came back, smoked a cigar with Verzi, stayed out till 4 in the morning, went right to the fucking airport, and that was it. I was right in and out. I got to tell you, I had two of the greatest fucking transcontinental flights I ever had. I go to the airport, right, 6 a.m., and I'm sitting there like a fucking zombie, right? And there's a guy sitting like two seats over. He's sitting there like, you know those people, they don't sit on their ass. They kind of sit on their lower back, and then the back of their neck is at the top of the chair. He was sitting there, and his shirt was up, and he was showing his midriff for whatever fucking reason. So I want to take a picture of this guy subtly. You know, not show his head, just show his awful belly sitting there, with his fucking legs at a 45-degree angle. And I want to, you know, I was going to text one of my hashtag animal photos, right? And, of course, right as I get the phone out, he drops his shirt down. I'm like, God damn it, you know? And I'm hating life. I'm tired of shit. And all of a sudden, the lady at the desk just goes, Mr. William Bear, could you please approach the fucking desk here, please? So I go, shit. What are they going to say? They gave my fucking seat away, and now I'm sitting on the toilet in the back. And I walked up, and they bumped me up to first class. First fucking class. So I get on the plane, and it's those first class seats that are diagonal that fold all the way down into a bed. So the second way airborne, I fold this thing down into the bed, or unfold it, I should say. Put on my little sleep mask and just fucking pass out. I wake up 3.5 hours later, put the thing back up. I ask if there's any breakfast left. They say, yes, there is. I got some yogurt, granola, and a fucking egg and spinach quiche, whatever the fuck it is. It was delicious. And then I watched Mike Tyson's one-man show. And the second it ended, we fucking landed. It was perfect. Fucking perfect. By the way, Mike Tyson's one-man show. I got to talk about that here in a second. Let me get a little advertising out of the way here. All right. LegalZoom, everybody. LegalZoom. Don't have a will? But why? You don't want the court dictating what happens to your property and minor children, do you? Of course you don't. So why procrastinate? Well, most people say, oh, it's too expensive or too time-consuming. You know what my answer is? LegalZoom.com. Absolutely. Too expensive LegalZoom's prices, they just make sense. too time-consuming. It only takes 20 minutes, and LegalZoom guides you from start to finish. You can't screw it up. The service was developed by some of the best legal minds in the country, and they make it painless for you to get the legal help you need. In fact, helping people get legally protected has been their mission and passion for over 13 years. During National Make-A-Will Month, get a special pricing on wills and living trusts by entering BURR, B-U-R-R, in the referral box at checkout. Again, that discount code is BURR. It's National Make-A-Will Month for the rest of the year, evidently. So don't wait. Protect your family. Protect your future at LegalZoom.com today. LegalZoom was developed by top attorneys to provide self-help service at your specific direction, but they are not a law firm. Okay? Legal help is furnished through vetted independent attorneys. LegalZoom.com, discount code BURR. B-U-R-R. All right, the next one. Our old buddies here. Our old buddies. The revolutionary Dollar Shave Club. Ever wonder why razors are so expensive? Huh? Big shave companies are charging you for ridiculous shaving technology you don't even need. First vibrating handles, then flashlights, now pivot ball flex heads. You know, what are they going to put in there next? An MP3 player? Enough is enough. Come on, you don't need all that crap. Join DollarShaveClub.com. For a few bucks a month, DollarShave.com delivers the world's best razors right to your door. DollarShaveClub.com blades are better than the big shave companies for a fraction of the price. It's so easy. Go to DollarShaveClub.com, pick one of their razors, and they start at just $3 a month. You don't need to break the bank. It's the biggest scam there ever was. Okay, these damn blades should be made out of gold, the amount that they charge at a drugstore. Okay, and you got to go down to the damn pharmacy to go get them. Just stay in your house. They'll bring them to you for a fraction of the cost. You don't have to resort to cheap disposable blades to shave, save cash, sorry. DollarShaveClub.com is amazing. Every month they ship you your automatic deliveries. You'll never forget to buy blades again. You don't have to squeeze shaves out of a dull, dirty old razor blade. You get to shave with the fresh blade every week, which is so great for your cute little face there. This is absolutely mandatory for anyone that wants a great shave, okay? You deserve better than a dull old blade. Why don't you treat yourself? No more ridiculous shaving technology. Make the smarter choice like I did. Join the DollarShaveClub.com/burr. Well, join DollarShaveClub.com/burr. That's DollarShaveClub.com/burr. All right. All right. What do we got? We got two more. So we'll read two more after that. Am I reading the right ones? Ah, fuck me. I read the wrong ones. Ah, what an asshole. LegalZoom. Okay. Well, no, I didn't read. And Dollar Shave Club. All right. Those were two I was supposed to do. I was reading last week's stuff, but thank God. All right, those do count. So listen to what I just said on those. Oh, Jesus. Don't save. All right, now that's out of the fucking way. Okay, anyways, let's get back to the Mike Tyson one-man show. If you haven't seen it, I highly recommend it. It's Mike Tyson telling his story. And what I loved about it was there was times you loved the guy, times you were like, I don't know about this guy, times you felt he was being sincere, and then other times you're like, this guy's, you know, as he says, he was a hustler. And I'm just sitting there going, is he doing that right now to me? And in the end, you don't know. First of all, what killed me was, I think Mitch Green or whatever the fuck the name that remember that guy he punched in the eye and closed his eye? He tells the whole fucking story and acts out the other guy wearing a Jerry Curl wig. And just sit down and watch it and tell me you don't see Charlie Murphy on the Chappelle show. You know, and Dave Chappelle doing Charlie Murphy talking about fighting Rick James. I'm telling you, his story could literally be the sequel. All I kept picturing was Dave Chappelle reenacting this fight, this epic fucking street fight that started in a store, ends up out in the street, fucking with the other dude on top of Tyson's car, and Tyson just giving up boxing and now is just kicking the guy as they're both on the ground. I mean, it was unbelievable story and fucking hilarious. And I was sitting there going, why does this guy... There was a style with which that he tells that story that was very reminiscent
of the way Charlie Murphy tells the story. And then I'm like, well, these guys are like within 5 years of each other, and they both grew up in Brooklyn around the same time. And I don't know. It's one of my favorite things that I've seen in a while. Granted, I was laying in a bed in first class eating a spinach and egg quiche. You know, Judah Friedlander said to me one time, I watched some movie, and I was like, I was on the plane. You know what I watched? I watched whatever movie. And it was a movie that got bad reviews. And I thought it was good. I thought it was a good movie. And he just starts laughing. And I was like, what? He goes, Bill, every movie is a good movie when you're on an airplane. He's like, you're on an airplane. You're fucking hating life. You put this thing on and it eats up an hour and a half of your life. I'm like, all right, fair enough. But I got to say, the Tyson one-man show, which was done on HBO, shot by Spike Lee. You know what's funny about Spike Lee is how he always trashes Tarantino about, you know, the characters dropping the N-words and that type of stuff. If you want to see something funny is how Spike Lee views Italians. Like, if Italians could be in blackface, like, they should be in his movies. They're always like, oh, what are you fucking doing over there? They're always wearing track suits. Mama fucking my balls over here. It's ridiculous. I just watched Summer of Sam, which I really liked that movie. But I had to hit mute when they were fucking showing the Italians when they were sitting down at that dead-end street. It looked like a fucking bad musical from like 1953. So, you know, I think he's got some work to do himself. Oh, let me get some fucking spaghetti. All right. Sorry. That's my little criticism. You know, there's nothing better than somebody who's never made a fucking movie himself, never written one or anything, now going to sit there criticizing one of the top directors out there, right? But anyways, he directed that, and I really enjoyed it. So check it out if you get a chance. Hey, you know what movie I wanted to see and I didn't get a chance to see anything. You know, I was going to fucking go see Planet of the Apes and Root Against the Apes as I was in the first one. I fucking hated James Franco's character in that first one. I couldn't stand, like, I went and I saw it with Nia, and we're sitting there, and once he gave that fucking ape, like, pants and sneakers and shit, you know? It was just like, dude, what are you doing? What the fuck, what are you doing? You're talking to an ape. Don't give it pants. All right? You can't have the thing fucking dressing as good as you are. Jesus Christ, didn't you learn anything from the British? How they built their empire? How that little shit-ass fucking little island out there ran the fucking world? How did they do it? Divide and conquer. All right, yeah, you don't get to wear shoes. Anybody at this level gets shoes, but no pants. Then the very best of all of you who get to this level get shoes and pants. That's what they did. And then the people with no shoes hated the people with shoes. People with shoes, you know, that's what you do. You don't go into your fucking closet. Hey, chimpanzee, go ahead, pick yourself out a suit. We're going down to the track like fucking Eric Roberts and Mickey Rourke and the King of Prince Street, whatever the fucking name of that movie was. The fuck was the name of that movie? The Pope of Greenwich Village. But, you know, sometimes I watch a movie and I go for the ride. And there's other times, like, people just do shit that's just so fucking dumb. It's just like, I don't have any sympathy for you. You should get your face ripped off. Fucking sitting there, you know. You don't give a laptop to a monkey. What's wrong with you? Okay? Think of all the shit we've done to them. You know, you teach them how to drive a car. Like, how does that end well? Anyways, yeah, so I didn't see the second one. I'll go to the one when we fucking defeat them. You know, I'm a fair weather fan when it comes to those eight movies.
When the humans win, I'll come back and I'll watch that one. You know, I'll come by for the playoffs. Anyway, so after we do the gig right out there at Jones Beach, you know, I'm trying to get back to New York as quickly as I can, so I can fucking go smoke this cigar with Verzi before I jump on a plane in like fucking 3 hours. So, Hardwick had a car. So he goes, "Hey, man," he goes, "I'm going to hang and watch your set. We can ride back to the city together." I'm like, "Perfect." So I go out, do my set. Fucking unbelievable crowd. Had a great time. It was like oddly like intimate. It felt like a small crowd. That crowd was so fucking amazing. And, you know, thank Christ I didn't bomb. I had a great set. I got out of there, said goodbye. Didn't take any pictures like an asshole. So I jump in the car with Hardwick, and they gave us a police escort. Swear to God. Out of the venue and up to the highway. But this is what's funny. The show is still going on. So there's completely no need for this. And we are basically driving through a full parking lot with nobody in our way with a police car with its lights flashing. And we sat there laughing going, "Are we wasting taxpayer money right now?" And we're like, "No, well, I mean, they were hired here anyway, so they were already hired for the event." It's like, what about the gas and the cruiser? So there you go. I got my first police escort. You know, and there was nobody there to witness it other than me and Hardwick and our driver. I swear to God, it happened. It happened. It took me 22 years in this business. And it finally happened. Just imagine Beatlemania if nobody gave a fuck. That's basically what we were experiencing. We had the nice car. We had the police escort. And other than the screaming fans, you know, there was just sort of, there was a guardrail. That's all I saw looking out the window. Nobody saw it. Anyways, let's plow ahead here. So then I get back to the city. And I meet up with Verzi and another one of my buddies. Doug Sinye. Let me be naming names all over the place. Two buddies of mine from the stand-up world. And we go to this cigar bar and have the time of our life. And both of them were golfers, and they heard what the fuck I said on my podcast or whatever. So we just start going back and forth and back and forth and back and forth, arguing this golf point. And I think I can actually make my point a little, I guess, clearer. And it's basically why I consider golf an activity, a difficult activity, absolutely, mentally taxing activity, without a fucking doubt. I just feel like, you know, when you don't have to be in any sort of cardio shape, like you can be in whatever shape you want to be and still win, like a championship. You could be a fat fuck, okay? And I know what you're going to say. Oh, what about those offensive linemen? They're fat fucks. Fuck you. They can run a 440 or a 5-flat 40. Those are fucking athletes. Okay? And they are that size like the way sumo wrestlers are because they have to be that size. Okay? They're told to get that fucking big. All right? Warren Sapp at his biggest weight could still fucking win Dancing with the Stars. Okay, you're talking an athlete here. He's still light on his toes there. All right, I'm talking how you can just be a complete non-athlete. You cannot even throw a fucking baseball, but you can be good at golf. So, or pool or bowling. I lump all of those together. They are activities with elements of sport. It's like sport that you hit pause on because there's no defender. You know what I mean? And then, you know, somebody just says, you know, Voss was saying, you know, he goes, "Dude, the other day I was out playing golf and I was shooting in the mid 80s and he got excited about shooting in the mid 80s. And he goes, next thing you know, I couldn't hit a shot." He goes, "There's no other game where that happens." It's like, yeah, it does. Not only does that happen in every other fucking game, he goes, "Well, you completely forget out of the play of the game." Yes, it does. That happens in every other sport, and it happens in life. It happens in stand-up. There's been stand-up comics that have gone out
to do a late night talk show got so fucking in their head they forgot their act. It's called choking in the moment. You know? I don't know. I'd probably be a great golfer because I don't give a shit. I don't respect the fucking game. So I would never get in my head. Oh my God, I shot a 14. Who gives a fuck? I'm not even keeping score. I think that that's the dumb thing. If you start keeping score, I don't know, the whole thing, it's like, I don't know, it's, you're playing cribbage out there. I just don't understand the whole fucking thing. I don't understand why people won't come to my way of thinking of it. Why don't you think my way? So anyway, we're arguing this fucking thing. And just having a great time. And the night ends. Verzi drives me down, back down to the hotel. We get out. I get a bacon, egg, and cheese at like 4 in the morning. And then I walk into a Dunkin' Donuts and get a chocolate glazed donuts. By the way, people, I'm off the rails here with the diet thing. And I'm starting to go back up again. So I decided this morning, I'm like, I just have to step outside. Because right now, I got the crack in me. I got the sugar salt thing. Look at that. Bacon, egg, and cheese. Salt through the fucking roof. Oh, I want a donut. I don't want a donut. Nobody ever wants a fucking donut unless there's salts through the fucking roof. And I shove that down my fucking pie hole like Homer Simpson. And then I go directly to bed. Horrific. So that was the end of the night. Just had a great time. And saw Verzi. Verzi's got a, he bought this, you know, Verzi's a sedan guy, right? Because I was trying to convince him. I was saying one of the coolest cars out there right now is the Mercedes-Benz E63 AMG 4MATIC station wagon. They made a station wagon that goes 0 to 60 in like 3.5 fucking seconds. To me, you know, I got this, like, I love a fast car, but I love a car that doesn't look fast, that is fast. A fucking sleeper, right? Did I talk about this last week? I can't remember. So I was trying to tell him why that car is the shit and how funny it is if he owned that fucking car, you know, if you're married with kids, you know, and you pull up next to some punk and they see you there with your fucking station wagon and then you blow them off the line, you know, groceries flying out the back end. I just think that's, you know, and I'm German, right? And that's the great thing about Germans, you know, is their fucking, their ability with science is incredible. You know, they're not the best at getting along with people. Absolutely. Okay, but who the fuck makes a station wagon that goes 0 to 60 in like 3.8 seconds? Huh? The fucking Germans. You gotta love it. You know, you get that, you get yourself some strudel or a fucking Reuben there. I mean, what else do you need? Sorry. So anyways, he's got this four-door sedan, man, and I'm telling you, it's a fucking badass car. But I kept, he's got to get some rims on it, you know? So I said to him, I was going to bring it up. All right. I'm going to try to use the power, what little power I have on this podcast to get Paul Verzi, to get rid of his fucking, I'm a 55 year old man, awful rims on his car. So if you have a rim shot, it's a drumming thing. If you own a store and you sell rims, okay, can you hook my boy Verzi up? If you hook him up, okay, if you give him a sweetheart of a fucking deal, okay, for some rims on his car, you can advertise for free for 2 weeks on the Monday Morning Podcast. How about that? Okay, I'm throwing it out there. You got to hook up Paul, dude, I called it. Don't say I'm from Jersey, Verzi, okay? Hook him up because I like his cars, but his rims annoy me and they're going to affect our fucking friendship. There, I said it. All right. All right. Let's plow ahead here. Where are we in the podcast? 39 minutes. Oh, Jesus. I think it's time for some more letters. Let me just bang out these last two advertising things. Oh, I love this advertising here because this reminds me how close football season is coming here. DraftKings, everybody. The wait is almost over. Football season is just around the corner, and you could get your piece of $5 million during kickoff week at DraftKings.com, America's favorite one-week fantasy football site. You've already been scouting players and doing research for your season-long team. Use that knowledge to win instant cash the first week of the season at DraftKings.com. Last year, one player turned $11 into $4,000 in one weekend. Another player won $1 million in one day just playing fantasy football. All right? Who's kidding who, people? You're playing fantasy football. You're a nerd. All right? You want to make it better? Now you can actually wait. Now you can make some money. Now it makes sense. Okay? Rather than screaming at your friends in your pajamas, you can actually win some serious money here. You win enough money here, you could buy a friggin' team. Fantasy football is exciting, but it's way more exciting at DraftKings.com, where you can win huge cash starting the first week of the season. Don't miss out on the week one excitement. Reserve your spot now. Bounce over to DraftKings.com, enter the promo code DEFENSE. It's very hard to only say that word once. And you'll get free entry into the week one $5 million kickoff bash. DraftKings.com. Bigger events, bigger winnings, bigger millionaires. Enter defense, all in caps, for free entry now at DraftKings.com. DraftKings.com. And lastly, but not leastly, the old favorites here of the Monday Morning Podcast. Where the hell are they? Where are they? Stamps.com, everybody. You know that feeling you get when you can get things done with the click of your mouse? It can't get more convenient than that, can it? And now you can even get your mailing and shipping done without ever leaving your desk, thanks to Stamps.com. Stamps.com turns your PC or Mac into your own personal post office that never closes. Talk about convenient. Buy and print official U.S. postage for any letter or package using your computer and your printer. Then just hand your mail to the mailman or drop it in a mailbox, and you'll never have to go to the post office again. I use Stamps.com to send out all my posters, my T-shirts, whatever crap I'm selling at the end of the show. I am a moron. If I can do this, so can you. It's that easy. Right now, use my last name, Burr, B-U-R-R, for this special offer. No risk trial plus $110 bonus offer. That includes a digital scale that calculates exact postage for letters and packages, and up to $55 free postage. Don't wait. Go to Stamps.com before you do anything else. Click on the top mic. Oh, I thought I just tipped over a glass. Click on the microphone at the top of the homepage and type in Burr, B-U-R-R, that's Stamps.com. Enter Burr. There's actually a box of Kleenex. Why do you have a box of Kleenex next to your bed, Bill, for when you jerk off? No, it's for when I cry myself to sleep. All right, let's get to the reads for the week. Once again, if you'd like to follow the podcast, everybody on Twitter, our handle is at the MM Podcast. That is our Twitter following. We put all the links up to the videos. We put all the links up for whatever the hell I brought up this week. Oh, that picture of Jones Beach. We're going to have that up there. And if you'd like to donate to the podcast, while not, you know, but get something for your money, just go to BillBurr.com, click on the podcast page, and next time you want to go to Amazon.com, we have an Amazon banner. You just click on that thing, takes you right to the site. I get credit for driving traffic to their site. You don't have to pay any extra money. If you buy something, you know, it comes my way. They kick me a little bit of something, all right? And with that, let's get to the letters here. All right. Girl smokes a lot of weed. Hey, Cincinnati Bowtie Billy. I don't even know what that means. I got to look that up. I've been with my girlfriend for 2 years and lived with her for about a year and a half. She has smoked weed since the day we met, which doesn't bother me because I used to smoke myself. What bothers me is how many times she smokes it in a given day. We will sometimes be hanging out watching TV and she will out of nowhere get up to grab her bowl to take a hit. I've even caught her getting out of bed in the middle of the night to take a hit. I don't want to be a dick and tell her she can't smoke. After all, I used to smoke myself. She just looks like a drug fiend. Always trying to get her fixed. I don't get why she has to be high 24/7. I have a beer, one beer after work, maybe 1 to 2 days a week. And sometimes she will throw that in my face if I comment about her constant weed smoking, which isn't even close to the same thing. I've always said this about weed smokers. I've always said that about them. Like the level that they get fucking high at work. Not all of them. I'm just saying, you know, like they'll fucking go out. They'd be like if I went out in the parking lot and shotgunned a beer and came in like with booze on my breath. And it is addictive. Not to everybody, but you can become addicted. It sounds like she is addicted to this shit. Like she needs it to help her sleep. She needs it so she can fucking deal, man. Anyway, she goes, sometimes she'll throw that in my face if I comment about her constant weed smoking, which isn't even close to the same thing. She also complains that she is broke, yet has no problem spending $100 on a bag of weed. What kills me is she will sometimes ask me to help. Oh, help her out with a bill or whatever. And I'm just like, what the fuck? How about you don't buy weed? Our relationship is great. This isn't a deal breaker or anything. It's just an annoyance. Should I just deal with it? Or should I try to get her to chill out with weed? What would you do with the lovely Nia smoked weed all day? Thanks. Go fuck yourself. I would address it. I would definitely address it. Okay. Yeah, she has a problem with that shit. If you're waking up in the middle of the night and taking another hit, I mean, I always just equate it to drinking because for some reason people can see alcoholism, but they can't see addiction with weed. If you were with somebody and in the middle of the night they got up and poured themselves a belt or two, you know, a couple fingers of scotch and slammed it and then went back to sleep. Or right in the middle of a movie, they went over and just fucking shotgunned a beer. And because that's basically what they're doing. It's not like they go out and make a drink and they're sipping it. They're not that, you know, they're getting high. They're not gradually getting drunk. It's like you do it, boom, you're high. And if she's doing it all the time and she's not making any money and then she's asking you to help her out. I mean, what if you didn't have a job and you were drinking at the level that she was smoking? And you were spending $100 on beer every week. And sometimes, you would ask her for help. What would she do? She would be upset. Now, this is what I would do. I would bring it up with her. She's going to get mad. And this is the thing. You cannot get mad too. If she yells and calls you names and everything, just do not get mad. Just sit there and know that she is, you know, you're going to lose the fight. If you bring up her weed smoking and then she's like, you know, what the fuck? You fucking blah, 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 blah. And then if you go to where the fuck she is there, you're going to lose. Because then it's become a name calling thing. And, you know, she has successfully gotten it out of the arena of what she's doing is fucked up. You just need to stay in the pocket and be like, listen. I don't mind that you smoke weed. I drink beer. Okay? But you are smoking weed 24/7. You're getting up in the middle of the night and you're smoking weed and I'm worried about you. And you're asking me on sometime, you're blowing $100 a week on weed and you're asking me to help you out sometime. Okay? Now, in all fairness, if I was blowing $100 on beer every week and I was, you know, waking up in the middle of the night drinking a beer, and they're going to pull that shit. That isn't the same thing. Yes, it is. It is the same thing. You're altering your mental state with alcohol, but except you're using marijuana. All right. And, you know, I care about you and you're kind of going down. You know, it's basically your job to keep your woman in line and it's her job to keep you in line. And that isn't some sexist shit by when I say keep you in line, which just means when they see you going out of bounds, they see you going upriver a little bit like Colonel Kurtz, shaving your head, going the horror. As you sit there in the corner, fucking shotgunning a beer, it's her job to be like, I think your drinking's getting a little out of control. That's what you do when you love somebody. So just know that she might not be ready to hear that shit, but, you know, she has to hear it from you. You're just trying to help her out. And if she flips out and calls you a bunch of names, just say, listen, I've said what I had to say. I'm more than willing to discuss this with you later when you've calmed down. But I'm not going to get into a name-calling argument with you. And you leave it at that. And then they have no fucking choice. They have no choice other than to just fucking chill at that point. Or they continue calling you names. But after that, they're gonna owe you an apology. All right. And if they don't apologize and they can't admit that they're wrong, that's a whole other fucking red flag. You know, because I couldn't be in a fucking relationship with somebody who, you know, if they fuck up, can't be like, all right, you know what? You were right on that one. You know, you got to have that. If you don't have that, I don't know what the fuck you got. So good luck with that, sir. All right. Next one. What the fuck to do? Sir Burr. Love the show and listen weekly. Thanks for making my Mondays entertaining. Well, you're welcome. All right. I am 39 and separated with a child. And I started seeing a woman who was 43, divorced with her own child. Ba-da-ba-da-bop. Here's the story. About 2 months into the relationship, we were getting serious and we started discussing a future together. However, our relationship started to erode about as quickly as it started, and we ended up breaking up after dating a total of 6 months. One of the reasons we ended things was that we didn't agree on wanting more kids. She wanted more, but I didn't. We ended on such a bad note that we agreed to not talk anymore. Okay, at this point, I'm like, good. That was a very mature relationship. Early on, you said what you both wanted. You realized that you didn't. You wanted two different things, and you walked. Got a little ugly there for a second, but who gives a fuck? Anyways, he goes, as luck would have it, about 2 to 3 weeks after we broke up, she called me to tell me she is pregnant. Oh, my God. Wait a minute. She wanted more, and I didn't. She pulled the goalie. Oh, dude, you didn't want more kids? You didn't use a condom? Oh, my God. He goes, I did not know how it was possible. Okay, because we took precautions, but I guess I slipped one past the goalie. I was devastated and worried because not only do I not want more kids, my current financial situation would limit me greatly in my ability to take care of my child and another child. My question to you is, what the fuck do I do? I would get a paternity test. Definitely get a paternity test to make sure it's yours. If you don't want to, I mean, that's a prayer. I'm not saying anything bad about this woman, but just, you know, you got to throw the Hail Mary here and hope maybe you get lucky. He goes, my question to you is, what the fuck do I do? She doesn't want to have an abortion and told me that we should get back together and have the baby. Is she lying? She said if not, she would try to legally prevent me from being part of the child's life. As I was writing this, she was about 6 weeks pregnant, so a lot of time to stress about it. Yeah, dude, fuck all of that. Wait a minute. Let me just read the last paragraph of this. He goes, I'm not stupid enough to go to a comedian for advice. However, I do think you have an interesting perspective on life, and I'd love to hear your point of view. This situation has since been resolved. See below to see how it turned out, but answer the question before you see the result. Thanks and go fuck yourself. Well, I don't see the result here. Below, I'd love to know what happened. Jesus, now you're leaving me hanging and all my listeners. All right, here's my thing. If any woman said, you know, you got me pregnant, and I didn't want to be with her. And she said, if you don't live with me and we have a relationship, you'll never see the kid. I would just be like, that's no way to go into a relationship. Okay? You want to find love. Okay? And the way to find true love is not to hold somebody hostage. Okay? We made a mistake. Now we're going to be adults and we are going to raise this child in an unconventional way, because we do not love each other. So it's not going to be fair to the kid if we're both together. It also will not be fair to the kid if you prevent the kid from seeing the mother, his mother or his father. Okay? So we need to be adults and put this kid first and set aside our differences and be as mature about this as we possibly can. The next 18 years are critical in this kid's life, and we need to suck it up. All right? So let's get on the same damn page here. All right? I mean, somewhere along the lines, I would say that. But I would definitely get a fucking paternity test. Because you never know what somebody's doing. And, you know, you kind of seem like dumbfounded that you actually got her pregnant. Who knows what happens? She seems like she wants more kids. She could be this desperate person that was, you know, I don't know what. But stranger things have happened, so I would definitely get a paternity test. And if she gets mad, fuck her. Who gives a shit? If she gets mad and be like, listen, you know, you shouldn't say this, but in your head you got to be thinking, this is somebody who's fucking crazy enough to basically threaten me into her life. If you're crazy enough to do that, you're crazy enough to say a kid that isn't mine is mine. Okay? She's not acting stable right now, so I don't know.
And that is healthy paranoia. That is not, if I ever said some shit like that on The View, you know what kills me is they would toe the company line, but I swear to God, backstage, you know, bitches, it's crazy. Phil Collins and Genesis. Oh, by the way, we're talking drummers here. I didn't realize this. I just got tickets to go see Primus, a band that I've always been meaning to see. And Tim Herb Alexander is back in the band. And I love the way that guy has played. And I got some tickets. Me and Roses, Joey Roses are going. Joey Roses, by the way, who has a new comedy CD coming out, I believe September 2nd. He's going to give me all the details. But go to joedarosacomedy.com, I believe is his website. I don't know what his fucking website is. Why don't I do a better job promoting an old pal's fucking website by actually having the decency of looking it up here? Sorry for the poor audio quality right now. All right. Joe DeRosa has a website. I don't know what it's fucking called. You call yourself... Yeah, joedarosacomedy.com. All right, let's see what he's got here. He has some shoulders, but he lacks the meat between his neck and ball sockets. All right, where do we go here? Why is my fucking internet so goddamn slow? Whatever, it's joedarosacomedy.com. He's got a new fucking comedy CD coming out, and goddamn it, I stand behind it, as does everybody else here in this podcast, which would basically be me. But anyways, so I didn't realize that Tim Alexander had a heart attack, but he's doing great, and he's recovering. Well, judging by the stuff that I've seen him post on his Twitter account and that type of thing, I'm really happy for him because he's truly is one of the great drummers of the last 24 years. Jesus Christ, has it been that long since I've been listening to him? But so whatever, if this somehow gets to him, happy to hear that you're doing well and continued healthy lifestyle. All righty, okay. Phil Collins and Genesis may have been done. Oh, by the way, thank you to everybody that also donated to Benny Greb's DVD. He's raised 99% of the money. So that really means a lot to me. And it's going to help other drummers, which will help music, which will come back around. Even if you don't play drums, you get to listen to better drummers making better music. So I really appreciate everybody who donated. That was pretty awesome. All right. Okay. Last time starting this. Bill. Phil Collins of Genesis. May have been done before, but hey, Billy Bruford. You're a drummer, stupid. You must know him. I am. You didn't have to insult me because you felt insecure about your obscure reference. All right. On last week's podcast, you brought up Mr. Phil Collins in Genesis. You absolutely nailed how incredible Phil is as a drummer. I am an early Genesis fanatic from Trespass, Nursery Crime, Foxtrot, Selling England by the Pound, and The Lamb Lies Down on Broadway. And he has in parentheses, dude. You know what's funny is I don't know anything about early Genesis. I just know Phil Collins is a fucking amazing drummer. I know that they were a prog rock band and that Peter Gabriel, who later sung Sledgehammer, gave himself a reverse mohawk at some point when he was in that band. Anyways, he says, that dude, as you may guess, should be Bostonian because it's the best album. Oh, The Lamb Lies Down on Broadway. Dude. That's how that was supposed to be read. All right, well, I'll check that one out. Anyways, he said, when Peter Gabriel left the band in 1975, these guys auditioned singers for months. No one could get it right. So what did old Phil Collins do? He stepped out from behind the drum kit like a badass and took over the role as frontman and drummer. From there, they remained true to their roots for a while. I'd say at least 3 to 4 albums. And until, of course, as you pointed out, the cash cow came along and they climbed aboard the proverbial money train. But that should not discredit these guys. They have my ultimate respect. Yeah, who gives a fuck? And in the end, you finally wanted to get paid and go out and get yourself a fucking station wagon that went 0 to 60 in 3.5 seconds. I totally get that. You know? And Phil Collins kept it real. He never got hair plugs or a toupee. He just held on to that landing strip forever. However, that's not to mention
However, that's not to mention Brand X, which was Phil's jazz fusion side project. That's where his drumming really flourished. The album Product is a must. Dude, this is like some hardcore music geek shit, and I'm loving every second of this. Phil always surrounded himself with brilliant drummers. Hey there, Cleo. Bill Bruford there, and Chester Thompson of Zappa fame, not to mention that bitchin' Tarzan theme, right? No. Tarzan theme. Tarzan. Sorry, I've been out here too long. Sticking Tarzan up. Thursday, August 21st, Genesis posted to their official Facebook page a new logo and a promise for exciting news. Some have speculated a possible reunion with the 71 to 75 lineup, including Peter Gabriel and Steve Hackett, which I would come buckets for. Jesus Christ, dude. I don't need that visual. He said, I am a musician, Bill, and I love when you bring up your drumming. You bring your drumming up and music in general. Keep it up. And the Mike and the Mechanics name, Mike and the Mechanics dude's name is Mike Rutherford. How British can you get? Cozy, smug cunt. Yeah, I love all that type of shit. Do you know, I'm going to do another one of those goddamn comedy jams. I can't figure out what song I'm going to do. But some of the songs I've been messing with have double bass in them. And that's something that when it comes to double bass drumming, I am a snob when it comes to it. I'm actually a cunt when it comes to double bass drumming because I can't do it on any level. But I have some hardcore opinions about it. I don't like when somebody uses it to enhance all their fucking fills around the kit. Just running underneath or just doing the quad thing or whatever. That always annoyed me because it makes you sound, you're doing these Bonham quads, but I don't know, you're kind of cheating. But however, if you get somebody who actually utilizes it to enhance a groove or even a fill, like I would say Tim Alexander, like some of the drumming that guy has recorded is just, it's astounding. Like I feel like I kind of got into this thing where I felt guys who played single bass drum could play a better groove than somebody that played double bass because they, you just had this extra, it's like you had this howitzer underneath you and they just couldn't resist jumping on those fucking things every chance they had to do some insane sounding fill. And I always felt like the guys that had the least amount of shit played the best. Like a Steve Jordan, you know, played a little four-piece kit. I mean, that guy could literally, you could just give him a hi-hat, a ride cymbal, bass drum and snare, like a Questlove. Same thing. And that guy could get more goddamn music out of it than some guy that has like a 50-piece set. Like, I kind of went into that and then, which was, there was an element of truth to it, but it was an arrogant, like, mindset. It would be the same thing as it would be like, a clean comic is better than a dirty comic, and you're not listening to what they're saying. So I've actually come around now, and there's a bunch of players that I like. But if there's no groove, I can't get into it. If you're just fucking playing like a zillion miles an hour, like I gotta admit, like those blast beats and that type of thing, that's fucking insane that somebody can do that. But after a while, it's just played so fucking fast. It all sounds the same. Maybe I need to listen to more of it to be able to hear it. But my favorite part in death metal is when the singer, for like half a second, you actually hear what his singing voice really sounds like before he goes back to that type of shit. So I'm fucking around with some of that double bass shit. I'm not going to say what it is because, you know, the reveal. Like I guess I wasn't supposed to say that I was going to dress up like Tommy Lee last week. Did I talk about that, by the way? We smashed it, man. We got off to a little rough start. I always fuck up the beginning. but I was psyched because I fucked it up in that I didn't stop when I was supposed to then restart. But I just kind of kept going. And if you didn't know the song, you wouldn't notice that we fucked up. So I felt good about that. And you know, once again, it took us a second. Then we got on track. It's just kind of hard to come walking out and be doing stand-up and then finish that and then walk behind the kit and then count off a band and not fuck it up at my drumming level. It's a very difficult thing to do. Hang on a second. I've been given a note here. Need to get my stuff. Okay. All right. I'll see you. Anyways, so let's plow ahead here. All right, Girl Stalker. Hi, Mr. Bill. I'm from the Czech Republic. Well, how are you? How's it going? Do you ever go up to Hungary and get some of that fucking Art Deco furniture that they send over here? What is it, from Budapest? You even charge us a fucking zillion dollars for it? Anyways, he goes, I listen to the Monday morning podcast like every single week, and I love what you're doing. Well, thank you. He goes, I know you don't owe me anything, but I really need some advice right now. Yes, I do owe you, because you're walking around the Czech Republic going, have you fucking heard about this red-headed cunt over there in the States? And someday, I'll do a gig in Prague. You guys got a funny bone over there? Because I'll do it. He said, there's a chick living in my neighborhood, and she's really into me. I mean, a lot, and much more I would like to. I was going to say, your English was fucking unreal, and I wasn't believing that you were from the Czech Republic. By going, there was a chick living in my neighborhood. You're using the slang properly. And then the next sentence, he goes, I mean a lot, and much more I would like to. All right. She calls me in the middle of the night, keeps knocking on my door, calling my name, throws rocks at my window, and once climbed on a tree next to my house, came inside my room, and waited under my bed until I arrived. Yeah, dude, you can't have this. That's fucking creepy. I didn't even know. She wasn't barefoot, was she? She's barefoot. I think she's a vampire. You know, aren't they always barefoot and they have, like, their breath is cold? I don't know. Oh, Jesus. He goes, I didn't even know there is something like girl stalking, but now I'm starting to be worried. The only thing I did was helping her back on her feet when she fade out on my friend's party a couple of months ago. I don't want to be mean or hurt her feelings. She's a pretty nice girl, but this is way over the line. Any advice? Yeah, you got to tell her to screw. You have to totally cut her off, and you can't have any interaction with her, because any sort of interaction with this woman is going to make her feel like you guys, that justifies her relationship. You know what I mean? I feel bad that she's in this mind state, but you don't have to deal with it. First of all, lock your fucking window. And, if she ever comes in your house again, you need to call the cops. I would stand outside and have the cops go in and get her out, and I would have legal record that that's what she did. Okay? And then don't talk to her at all. Don't answer the phone. Nothing. And you have to cut her out of your life, because she's out of her fucking mind. All right? That's what I would do. And when she cries or does whatever, do not comfort her and go, I'm sorry, but I'm just not into you, because in her world, the relationship just started over again. You got to cut the head off the snake. End it. All right? There you go. All right. When is too old to start a band? Well, listen, I just started playing out with, I'm not in a band, but I got to tell you, dude, it's fucking, I got to tell you something. Going down and doing that goddamn comedy jam and sitting in with the band is the most fun shit I've done in a long time. I literally drive down there with like butterflies, like this nervous excitement. You know how long it's been since I've had that? I'm getting outside my comfort zone, and I know obviously I'm not going to join a band or anything, but whatever that experience is artistically is going to help me in my acting. It's somewhere down the road, that experience is going to fucking help me. And it's the fucking best. Anyways, he goes, when is too old to start a band? He goes, hey, Bill, my boyfriend. Oh, she says, sorry. Oh, nice. A female wrote in. God damn it. I love when this happens. Says, my boyfriend of 2 years has been involved has been very involved in theater and music. He was in bands throughout high school and college as a drummer. About a year ago, he joined a cover band, which I'm totally supportive of. It's a really nice hobby, and I love going to his shows. Now we are getting pretty close to moving in together. He talks at length about our future, what we need to do to get there, etc. Basically, we are being grown-ups, and despite what you're probably thinking, he is actually the one that brings up our future and more than me. I'm not judging you. I know I'm a cunt, but I'm not judging here. I'm reading this open-mindedly. He goes, well, she goes, well, I'm reading this open-mindedly as I keep calling you he. She says this. Well, about a week ago, he says that he and the chick in the cover band want to start their own two-person original band. And based on certain things he has said, he seems pretty serious about trying to make something of it, i.e. comments about me going on tour with him or about becoming a rich musician, etc. My first reaction, you're 31. You don't really like your job much. Parentheses, people that hate their careers tend to want to try something else. You talk to me about our future and what we have to do to get there. You want to start dedicating your time to a two-person band. I haven't said any of this to him because I don't want to come off as unsupportive. But I mean, at what age do you face the reality and stop trying to live out a 15-year-old's dream? Granted, it seemed very unlikely that anything will come of it. Sorry, just being honest. But doesn't this seem like a midlife crisis 10 years too early? I should mention he also sent me this horrendous skull tattoo today that he suddenly wants on his arm. Or am I being selfish and an asshole? Be blunt, I can take it. All right. There's a lot of shit going on in this one. Is 31 too late to start in a band? Technically, no, I don't think it is. And when you said, you know, that he's having a midlife crisis, I hate that expression. And however, I at first I didn't like that you used it until he was talking about getting the awful skull tattoo on his arm. That loaned a lot of credibility to the midlife crisis comment. I would say this. I think this is a person that wanted to be in a band, a successful band, and is now 31 and is realizing, like, fuck, if I'm going to do this, I need to do this now. All right? But going out and getting the skull tattoo is it. That really, I don't know. I don't know about that part. That's making me feel like your assessment of the situation. I mean, without me seeing this guy play, I can't tell you. But like, at this point, he's in a cover band and he has a job. And that is your relationship. This guy has a job. He has a steady income and he has this cover band. Now, all of a sudden, he's going to get a skull tattoo, quit his job, and potentially go on the road and take you with him. Now, I'm assuming you have a fucking job. So he is creating an entirely new dynamic. So you're in the right to be like, what the fuck are we doing here? And you're in a tough position where you don't want to be like, listen, this dream that you've had, but for some reason didn't go after it the way you should have. You know, I understand being in a cover band to like pay the fucking bills. But, you know, if you're not making original music, there's only so far that you can fucking go as far as my understanding of it. So I don't think that you're being an asshole. The skull tattoo thing is really like a major fucking red flag to me. That, does he have any other tattoos? If he doesn't have any other tattoos and out of nowhere, he's like, all right, I'm going to stop being in this cover band. I'm going to finally take this fucking thing seriously and I'm going to go out and get some fucking awful goddamn tattoo. Yeah, I would be kind of concerned about the guy and what he was doing. But as far as the whole midlife crisis thing, that gets thrown around a lot when somebody goes after a dream. And there's nothing wrong with being 31 years old and then assessing your life, being like, wait a minute, I've been on this road I don't want to go on. I need to go on this other road. And I think a lot of times people who aren't going after a dream can't relate to it. I'm not saying this is you, but they can't relate to somebody going after a dream and taking a big risk. And they attribute it to having a midlife crisis or they don't have a dream. They're just going to work and that's fine. Working for somebody else and you know, doing the 9-to-5 grind. As long as you make enough money and you have your benefits and you like where you live, like that's fine. Like that's your dream.
And they can't understand somebody going after something. But I would definitely not call it a midlife. I don't know. I guess it is technically a midlife crisis. I mean, all a midlife crisis is like, fuck, I better get on this stick or the things that I wanted in life, I'm not going to have. It's like, you know me, when I'm sitting here talking about, you know, I'm finally going to get myself a nice fucking car if I can ever get finished with this goddamn downstairs. And, you know, I'm talking about some of the cars I'm looking at, you know, and it just comes to, it's like, if I don't ever do this, I'm never going to do it. I think when you're young, you can be like, oh, I'll do this someday. I'll do this someday. Someday I'm going to do this. You can lie to yourself. And in life, you have to understand that, no, if I don't do this, I'm never going to do this. Does that make sense? If I don't go over to fucking Europe, I'm never going to go to Europe unless I get my fucking ass over there. I'm never going to have this car that I always wanted unless I go down to the dealership and fucking buy the goddamn thing. And I don't know. When people see you step out of what they think that you are, which is I play in a cover band and I have this job that I fucking don't like, it's very easy to say, are you having a midlife crisis? He could also be having an awakening. Okay, so this is a very delicate thing. Oh, man, it just keeps coming back to that awful skull tattoo. To me, that just seems like, first of all, that's the hackiest fucking tattoo out there. You know, to get, you know, fucking, I'm in music till I die. What's going to be a guy with a skull fucking playing drums? I mean, that's just bad. And I just look at that like you're dressing up like a rock star rather than legitimately being one. And I don't think you're being a dick here. I think what you're, or an asshole. I think what you're doing is he's making this big decision that's going to affect both of your lives in a major way. So you're not being an asshole. So right now, what you have to do is literally try to, like, defuse a bomb. Okay? You got to make sure you cut the right wire. And what I mean by that is you're able to convey your concerns. Like, listen, I support you and all of that. And I know you don't like your day job. But, you know, I mean, there's just no way to say you're 31. You know, you are 31 years of age. I would say, look, he's kind of making a move for himself here. So you got to make a move for yourself. What I would do is, it's like, I would talk him out of the skull tattoo. Just say, listen, this is how you get rid of the skull tattoo. Just say, listen, I will support you. Okay. You get with this woman, you guys start making this fucking music. Okay. But you're not getting the skull tattoo. All right? And then go down and watch them. And if they seem like they have something, who the fuck knows? Stranger things have happened. I would never tell somebody not to go after a dream. I would tell them not to get the skull fucking tattoo. But see if they have something. And if it seems like they have something, then I don't know. I don't know. I don't know. Then I guess you have to assess, do I want to take this fucking ride? Because that is a motherfucker of a ride. Yeah, that's I guess, I kind of was all over the map there. But I think I came to a point. No skull tattoo. You can start making this fucking original music together. And like, I mean, I don't know. How do you go out on the fucking road unless you're actually doing well? What are they going to do? You know, they have to make some great music. I would just lay it on the line. It's like you're asking me, you're making a major change here where music was your hobby and now you're going to make it your full-time thing and you're talking about taking me out on the road. How are we going to afford to do this and all of that type of stuff? I will support you making the original music, but you are by no means getting a skull tattoo on your fucking arm because that is the tramp stamp for a guy. Okay, unless you're in a motorcycle gang and you murdered somebody, like, there should not be any skulls on your body. All right, there, I said it. Okay, and that's it. That's the Monday Morning Podcast for this week. Go fuck yourselves. Football, is around the corner. Cannot wait for college football and all of that type of shit.
That's it. I got nothing else to say. Don't take any shit. Go fuck yourselves. And please don't get a tattoo of a skull on your body. All right. See you.